This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is by Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And it is definitely the most exciting time of the week. It is by we get a chance to talk to you and...
Oh, no, Allah bless you. No, you are very generous. You are very generous. May Allah keep you that way. May you continue. Allah has given you a very endearing personality, a generosity of heart. Inshallah, we pray that through this interaction, that people with open hearts and everyone listening with an open mind, inshallah, it will be an opportunity for them to grow, to reflect on their life. Inshallah, use that opportunity to connect with people, loved ones and dear ones, so that the world can be a far more better place, inshallah. They say laughter lubricates life. I think through laughter, what happens, it gives you a perspective on life. And what happens, if you look at the opposite of laughter, there is this kind of seriousness, this kind of everything that you're serious. And when you laugh, you really exercise your facial muscles, you are able to release the endorphins, you are able to bring joy to others. Because nothing can be more beautiful to a person that is feeling down. Someone comes there, it puts life into perspective, and then it creates a degree of laughter, happiness. It creates a sense of joy. It's a sense of exuberance, a feeling of happiness. It will bring joy to everyone else around. In fact, you know, if you look at the world itself, like if you look at the father and the mother, even the father comes from work, when he's got that angry expression, it really impacts on the culture, the ethos of the home, where they know, for example, the rest of the evening is going to be an unhappy evening, but daddy looks very, very upset. But when he comes with a smile, they know it's the beginning of really a good evening. And when there is laughter, it brings people together. And you find that in homes where there is harmony, I'm not saying that you go overboard, you become flippant, but it's part of who we are, to understand that we are all going to leave this world. But it's also, we need to also understand that whilst we are here, in whatever form, we need to bring joy. And this notion, you know, some people are really damn scribs, you know. What they do, they say there is no place for laughter. Life is a serious business. Yes, it is serious business. It does not mean people who laugh or bring joy to other people do not understand the seriousness of it. I tell people, it's far easier to be angry than it is to make people laugh, to make people happy, to sit back and relax, to look at life in its truest perspective.
And it is so much of joy that it brings to people. You know, the most beautiful thing it is by, and what I miss a lot about being at Radio Islam, and I know Malala Arafat is listening, is that when you would just walk into Radio Islam and everybody would be busy at work, the only person would turn around and just give you a good solid greeting and a happy face would be Malala Arafat. And that would really, you know, just bring joy and another light into your day. And that happens all over. You just meet one person with a smile in the morning and it makes your whole day.
Absolutely. Smile is a very infectious thing. To greet in sincerity and openness and say, Assalamu alaikum, my brother. It is so good to see you, so good to see you. And you say to that conviction, what you are really saying, what you're saying, hello?
Gigi.
What you are saying and doing, basically, you are really sharing your unbridled joy. You are really affirming the other person. You're accepting him. You're giving him the attention. You're showing him appreciation. These are very important things because too many of us walk around the world, you know, as if we are diminished and with no self-esteem. But if someone gives you that attention, not only attention, but by transforming your life from one of maybe anticipate depression to one of joy, it's a wonderful thing, you know. I mean, I hear sometimes people say, you know what, for the first time in my life, I laugh so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they become emotional about it because throughout their life, they only are embedded in sadness. People around them are negative people. And when you laugh, when you smile, you are looking at life optimistically. You know, and that is very important.
So it is like I'm requesting you today, give us a happy story or a funny story that we can get some laughter into our life, inshallah.
Okay, I'll tell you. There are many stories I can tell you. there was once, a friend of mine said this to me. I'll tell you a few to inshallah. Mm. The one is that what happened was, in the earlier days when the inspectors used to travel from Durban, it's called to Pietermaritzburg. The moment they came to Pietermaritzburg, the guys in Pietermaritzburg used to phone the colleagues up in Moy River, Ascot, Ladysmith, Newcastle, Dundee, Glencoe. Listen, guys, watch out, the guys are on the prowl, right?
Okay.
So they know they'll expect someone. So this one particular teacher got the news from his friend that tomorrow they'll be coming to school, and it was his time for his work to be evaluated. So he was very excited about it. So he began to teach his pupils, he was teaching them health, and he was singing to them, and they were saying, he asked them, what do you do? First thing in the morning, the boys were saying, we brush our teeth. He went on, so he rehearsed the whole lesson, and so unbeknown to him, The next day the inspector came, this one boy was not there on the day of the rehearsal lesson. Mm-hmm. And the poor boy, Fermal, was in the class.
Yeah.
He asked the kids, now what do you do first thing in the morning? So the boy put his hand up.
Yeah.
Yes, Fermal, what do you do? He says, sir, I got toilet, sir. Don't you brush your teeth? He said, no, my mother told me you first got toilet. Preparation, right? That's one example, right? And the other one was, it happened perhaps in the United States, you know, Molana?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what happened there in the United States, this inspector heard that there is one very, very dynamic male foundation based teacher, you know, grade one teacher.
Right.
And he went there to the school, and the principal said to him, Mr. So-and-so, man, you're going to have such a great time today. Bob is my best teacher. You're going to be inspired by him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he went to Bob's class, listened to the lesson, then he asked the teacher, he said to him, do you mind if I were to ask one of the pupils a question, you know?
Right.
It was like a history lesson. He said, not a problem. You can ask him any question you want. So he asked the little boy, he said, tell me, boy,
mm-hmm.
who broke the walls of Jericho? The boy said, sir, I didn't do it, sir. I promise you I did not do it. So the lesson was over. So this teacher was very interested to find out how his lesson went. So he said to him, you know what, he asked him, how was my lesson? He said, your lesson went very well. Until I asked the boy who broke the walls of Jericho, he said, I didn't do it. So he said, man, he said, with due respect to you, sir, I know my pupils, I know the family, I know them so well. If that boy said he did not do it, he did not do it. So now he went to the inspector. Now, you know, he went to the headmaster. So the headmaster asked him, he said, I'm sure you enjoyed the lesson of Bob. He said, man, I'm so flabbergasted. When I went to the class and he recounted the whole story, so the principal said to him, my teacher Bob, he knows all his pupils well. If he says he did not do it, he did not do it. So anyway, now he's very frustrated. So he goes now to his superintendent, right? So his superintendent asks him, how was your day? He said, man, I'm so frustrated today. I went to the school there, and this is what happened. So that his superintendent said to him, you know what? I'll give you some money. You put that wall right. You don't cause any kind of problems.
level of education,
yeah. So these are things you hear. For, I mean, I heard the other day, how first to Allah knows, when, in Natal, we are not so conversant with Afrikaans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this boy in Pietermaritzburg had to write a ghost story.
Yeah.
So what he did, he wrote the first sentence in Afrikaans, then he said, the ghost commanded me to write in English. So he wrote the rest of the essay in English, but the teacher was very clever. He said, well, the ghost commanded me to give you naught. Zero. Yeah. So, there are many such stories, you know, and Like there was a teacher, apparently, he said to the pupils, I have 5 apples in one hand and 5 apples in the other hand. What do I have? So one boy said, excuse me, you've got very big hands, you know.
Yeah, it is. I just read the other day, somebody sent me an email, and the teacher is pointing the cane at a young child and says to the child that, you know what, there's a very, there's an idiot at one end of this cane. Yeah. The child got into a lot of trouble because he said, which end?
Yeah, which end, yeah. You know, and this is the whole thing. And I'm glad, I'm so glad, Maulana, you know, that you're speaking about this. Because our homes, they need some lightheartedness. They need some laughter. They need some joy, some smiles. What is missing are the pleasant moments. Our homes need that. Alhamdulillah, I find, you know, there are increasingly lots of homes that are trying to do the right things, where children can come there, where there is laughter, and you find there isn't no more the kind of discrepancy, you know, the man, the loving man that he is outside the home is even more loving at home, you know. And these are very important, simple things. This requires an attitudinal change, you know.
We just have to change our way and think of the things that make us happy about others, rather than focusing and looking at those things that we can take out a fault in, or things that we can really criticize, or things that are upset us about others around us. Look at those things that make us happy about the people that we are dealing with, and it will change our lives around so much better and make our work so much easier and so much more pleasant.
Absolutely, because, you know, and you're so right, today we are so judgmental, we don't listen with our heart to people, there's no empathy, and we do not, how wonderful it's going to be when you say, I want today, inshallah, whoever I meet, I'm going to make them happy, to a smile, to something funny, to listening with empathy, and that's what I'm going to do every day, inshallah, whoever comes to me, no matter what the pain is, rather, I'll give it a kind of perspective, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And this is so important in terms of relationships and relationships building, because we would avoid people that are angry, temperamental, who do not bring joy, who with everything there is a negativity, and they only see the worst case scenario, who say, you know what, I know it's going to be a bad day today, or I'll not find, you know, the negativity is something that can really erode a person's happiness.
Rida, you have been in the educational field for many, many years, and I'm sure over the time you've picked up many funny, funny incidents, excuses, and things that have happened in school. Maybe you could share some of that with us as well.
You know, what you're saying is so true, you know. Like you find that, but this is a funny one, right? The funny one was in the sense that this one student, you know, was asked, didn't happen in my class though, he said to him, you know, he normally gets all his maths examples wrong, you know. So that particular day, he got all the answers right. So the teacher said, I'm surprised that you got all the maths sums right. He said, yeah, I got it right because my father wasn't at home yesterday. You know? So normally when your father helps you, get everything wrong. And you find that, you know, kids are very, very creative with the excuses for not doing homework and everything else. And there was someone, you know, he had the habit, and he was my classmate, you know. Whenever the teacher is asking for any homework, he said, no, I could not do it because my uncle passed away, my aunt passed away, my grandfather passed away, you know. Uh-huh. Kept on saying, you know, saying that. So one day his teacher said to him, by now I'm sure you have no more living relatives, you know. You kill all of them. And I know that person. And this is what some people used to do. And at the school, you know, fortunately for me, alhamdulillah, you know, the pupils used to do the homework and everything else that goes with it. But they can be very, very creative in terms of what they don't do. But to the same token, I remember when I had certain classmates, I mean, one of the biggest mistakes they made when we were at school was they decided to experiment. They decided to keep one class, they tested it, and they put all the boys in the class there.
Right.
And when it was co-ed at that time, the many boys were far better behaved because they wanted to be, you know, out of respect for the girls or whatever. They felt somewhat intimidated. But this time they put all the boys in the class together.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some crazy chaps in the class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I myself, I was naughty, but I don't think I was disobedient as far as the teacher was concerned. And yeah, I remember there's one person, he was a very tall person, you know.
Right.
And they had this teacher, she was not very tall at all. So whenever she asked him a question and he used to stand up, and he was so towering, you know, overlooking this petite little teacher. And then he used to get people making funny kind of sounds at the back and all of that. And the what used to happen in the class was the teachers often used to get intimidated and whatnot. But one teacher made a difference. What he did, we were known to be a naughty class, but when he came, his name was Mr. Isaac. What he did was he came to the class to serve relief.
Right.
He said to us, "Good morning, gentlemen." You know, he probably got a shock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, "Because he's calling us gentlemen," and we all kept quiet and behaved like gentlemen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from that, you know. I think once you give positive attributes to your children, they respond accordingly, you know.
Mm. It's just how you speak to them, and the way you address them, the way you speak to them. You know, your child or your son walks into the room, or you wake up in the morning and you see them for the first time. And if you're going to start off the day with, "Hey, did you brush your teeth?" or "Hey, did you go to the toilet?" or "Hey, did you do this? Did you do that?" It's just going to start off the day in a bad way. But if you start it off, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Did you sleep well?" it just changes the whole thing all around.
Absolutely. No, Maulana, what you're saying is so right. Respect begets respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moment you start up with the wrong tone, we start interrogating. You know, I think a critical aspect, especially with the familial relationship at home, is to first make the connection. Once you're connected, then you can talk about other issues. But once your tone is offensive and the things you talk about are jarring and snarling, then what happens? You really upset people around you, because you'd be surprised that, especially with the mothers and the fathers, if, for example, they are belligerent or angry, whatever, they really impact on the culture and the atmosphere at home, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just gone 11:30, you're listening to Radio Islam International, speaking about things that make you happy, things that are changing your life around. It is, by, you know, part of the modernity and part of the new life that we have. We are planning everything on our BlackBerries. You know, everything is happening and is centered around our BlackBerries as friends, as with our cycling buddies, organizing everything on our BlackBerries, weddings organized on our BlackBerries, and everything basically is getting organized on our BlackBerries. Now, I would like the older generation, all the nanimas and dadimas out there, perhaps they could give us their insight into what they think about or what advice they would give to couples that want to get married in today's time, and what basic things would you tell them to keep their lives happy, inshallah.
Radio Islam. نحن نضعك على الطريق الصحيح للحياة السعيدة. صلاة الله سلام الله صلاة الله سلام الله على محمد على محمد على محمد صلاة الله على محمد سلام الله على محمد صلاة الله على
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is why we have a very interesting SMS that has arrived, and I'll just read it out to you. It's about the topic that we're speaking about, and on the other side of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with this person, the SMS says, I have nothing to be happy with at the moment because my family is falling apart. I have a 16-year-old son that is tearing us apart. Arrogant, disrespectful, causing problems at school, screaming at me, not interested at school, wants to leave, and so much more. Please help.
Gee, you know what? We are not denying in the discussion that there are some homes that are in a lot of pain. They are in a crisis. The home is not a sanctuary. When sometimes our beloved children to whom we devote our life, we pray for them, can suddenly become our adversaries, and they can make life increasingly difficult. They can be abusive. But the whole thing in life is I'm always been solution driven. I don't believe anyone is incorrigible. We all make mistakes. And sometimes the 16-year-old son that she speaks about, perhaps in his own way is crying out for help. Perhaps there are some issues that he's finding difficult to deal with, because the age of 16 is a very, very difficult age, the time your hormonals are going all over the place, and when friends become more important, when they compare their own parents to other people's parents, and they do not know the sacrifice that parents make. So one of the things that I would recommend very strongly is perhaps is to sit him down and to re-engage him and to find out from him what are the issues. And instead of being defensive, listen to him first, because as psychologists say, revealing is healing. The second thing that I would encourage is asking him what would he do differently if he's the father or the mother, you know, what would he do differently. And in the end, there has to be some kind of compromise. And my own recommendation is that when two people, if he's going to be defiant and we get upset and angry, that's not going to help the situation. We need to look at a win-win situation. And he must feel that love, we must connect and hug him. And then what we also need to do is sometimes on the mistakes we make when they're growing up, we do not give our children positive attributes. We need to give them positive attributes. We need to give them self-belief. Now, the other, the big consolation is this, that this is often a phase that many a kid goes through, a phase when his friends are more important, the mother and father an embarrassment to him. It's when he is more settled and more focused, often they come around. So we need to just pray that they not get into despicable habits, you know, of drugs and a whole range of things, pornographic addiction, alcoholism, and all of those things. So I would really encourage the mother and the father. I just hope that the marriage is intact. It's a harmonious marriage. But in a home when there's anger, kids often respond with anger. When there's pleasantness, and then children also are pleasant. So I think they need to identify what is a motivating factor, who are his friends, what is it that is making him do what he is doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's why sometimes, you know what I've learned about the upbringing of children is that we try different measures in enforcing certain strictness in certain things, but we continuously feed our children whatever they want to eat. We give them spending freely and free time, etc. There's an interesting book that I read by a person called Dr. Kevin Lehman.
Right.
I don't know if you read that book on Get a New Kid by Friday. So basically he's saying a 7-day plan of correcting your child's behavior. And one of the or the basis of his whole program is that you need to sometimes deprive your child of the luxuries that they get in life, so that you can get good behavior out of them. But you have to be very staunch and strict in depriving that and depriving them of that. Like, for example, if the child is used to regular spending money, used to their free time, used to their fancy clothes and things like that, if they don't want to toe the line according to your rules, you have to tell them, not even shout or be aggressive, just tell them simply that, I'm sorry, but your allowance is going to be cut off, and ignore everything that comes after that, whether it is pleading, whether it is begging, whether it is crying, everything like that. And well, he says that it works, and I have sampled it, I have tested it out, and it does have a good effect.
In fact, there's something that I always encourage people to do. I tell parents that they must learn to say no. They cannot keep on saying yes. You know, as it is said, that in giving our children what we did not have, we have forgotten to give them what we had. The big mistake we make is sometimes when you feel that you grew up in a home that we might not have enjoyed all the luxuries, now in a good situation, but by giving in to them, you are really incubating a monster in inverted commas, because you're creating a very false notion of life, and life is going to be a challenge. You know, it has its defeats and its victories. And when you create the culture of entitlement, the moment I speak, my daddy responds, then you're creating really a jaundiced view of the world. And he requires tremendous resilience and courage to say no to your child, because the reaction afterwards might be anger and everything else. But as long as you're consistent, when you do that, and you have support of the mother and the father, do it together. But critically, the child must know that whatever is being done is done out of love for him, the benefits for him. Now, if you purely want to, stifle the cries of a child by giving in to him, what you are really doing is really destroying him and creating really an erroneous picture of what the world is all about. And what the author says, something that I subscribe to, I believe in it, that you got to have certain value systems, and you got to subscribe to the value system, because in life, like anywhere else, there are consequences for negative behavior and also positive consequences for good behavior. Then when good behavior does take place, we need to maybe judiciously reward them. We need to acknowledge them and show them appreciation. And Islam, as we know, we are judged by the effort and not the outcome. So when our kids are really trying hard and trying to succeed, at that time we need to really applaud them and acknowledge them.
It is, you had the program in Johannesburg, and one of the comments that came out of the program was that, "I never laughed so hard in my life."
Yes.
And I think that was written by Nanima, the famous Nanima, who has her forum on Facebook and her website and stuff like that. So, "I never laughed so hard in my life." Idrisbhai, I think you have that good gift, and may Allah Ta'ala reward you.
No, I mean, Allah is so merciful. I mean, I'm not I don't want people to believe I'm a paragon of virtue. I'm a Mr. Perfect. I have lots of shortcomings, but Allah in His mercy has given me the opportunity of interacting with people and bringing joy to people. I hold this very, very dearly to me, that whoever I interact with, I must bring joy to them. When I feel people, like when I'm doing a workshop, when we are becoming very, very serious, then I interlard my comments with some funny stories about myself, whatever, and people laugh. And what happens sometimes, couples that come for the program, they may not have laughed like this before. And there's an opportunity every day. And perhaps the 16-year-old that is rebelling, maybe he doesn't see laughter in his home. The home is not a sanctuary, it's a place of grief and pain, of argumentation. And once there is that happiness, the joy, and we are all attracted to joy. We're not attracted to places of anger, a place, where people constantly argue with each other. And for that, we thank Allah, for our personalities. And we all have the ability to have a perspective on life. And you find that, in fact, I have found that some of the most philosophical and serious persons are those that make other people laugh, because they understand life, they understand the meaning of life, they understand that you cannot always become so serious and introspective and reflective that you find you don't have your moments of joy. And I think Islam is replete with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his own way creating he used to smile broadly rather than laugh loud, and the jokes he used to play with Ali and others around them. And so these are things that are not away or detract from what it is to be a Muslim. Because, I mean, when you want to leave a legacy behind, you know, one of the most beautiful things, inshallah, is it is through him I learned to see life in perspective. I came closer to Allah and his beloved Rasul. I understood the meaning of life, because the home, many people say that my father outside has a genial, convivial personality, bringing joy to us, but at home he's not like that, and similarly with the mother. So I think, you know, it's all from Allah, and we thank Allah for all the, you know, ni'mat he's given us.
I mean, so we received an SMS, the listener is saying, it's not so easy, but together with that, putting a nice story. At the couples conference, the speaker mentioned that couples are so disconnected that 85% of husbands don't know their wife's favorite flower. So the course turned to his wife and he whispered to her, "The self-raising, ne?" Jazakallah for the lovely program, is what they say.
You know, someone told me this, I'm not sure who it was. Someone said, you know, maybe he went for a talk. They said, you know, "Have you ever praised your wife for cooking?" And he said, "No, man, I've never done that." So today he decided he's going to do that. So he told his wife, you know, he must have said whatever her name is, said to her, "Darling, you know, I really, really enjoyed your food today, you know." She got so upset with him today because our neighbor, Auntie Fatima, sent us there for him. You know, these things happen, you know.
Which have a husband, he doesn't say good is in problem, and he says good also is in problem. Is there something special about laughing together? You know, you laugh alone, you look at your cell phone, somebody sends you a joke, you laugh alone, it lasts for a little while. Or you look at your computer screen and the email and you look at and you see a joke and it lasts, laugh and finish, it's done. But there seems to be some special effect of laughing all together. And you just touched on it, that couples haven't laughed together so much, and that's why it affects them, and those motivational programs have such a good effect on them.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, the whole thing is this. I mean, now you don't have to be a person that is subtle with a joke, but even when you tickle each other and you guffaw, you laugh and everything else, what it does, it brings about closeness. It just also shows you that there are no barriers between two of you, that you could, you know, and many people, you know, sometimes they want to maintain the dignity and everything else, and they, you know, standoffish and, you know, like a bourgeois, and they find it difficult for them to laugh at others, but they all laugh with, you know, like I was telling someone this weekend in Drakensberg when we had our program there on family relationships. I said to them, you know what, I have no issue if a person laughs at me or whether he laughs with me. Because even if he laughs at me, if that gives him joy, I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy.
Right.
You know, so it's about those things. It's about us having a perspective. Like in any day's work that you do, you come home tired. And when you come home tired, you want really pleasantness. You don't want to listen to a barrage of complaints and all of that. And in fact, those who have the ability to make others laugh, they connect with people very, very quickly. You might meet a person the first time through some kind of subtlety and wit, you know. I'll give you one example. That many years ago, at that time when you had to pay a fine, we had to go, our traffic fine, we had to go to Old Fort Road.
Right.
And there you go to one counter and they'll give you a receipt, then you go to the cashier to pay, you see. And I remember, you know, I went to this counter, there were three ladies there, so I went to the one lady and I told her, "You know, ma'am, here am I, the good citizen, I want to pay my fine, and yesterday I read in the Daily News that 30 million rand is being owed on fines." So she told me in a very stern way, "Oh, do you believe everything you read?" You know? So I kept quiet anyway. So what happened then? Then when I went to the other counter, right? She then came to the second counter to relieve the queue of that counter. So I decided to go back to her. And I said to her, "You know, today I learned something from you." "So what did you learn?" I said, "You must not believe everything that you read." He said, oh, I'm so glad for that. And I said, you know why I'm telling you this? Yeah. Because according to your counter, the sign is you are closed, but you are really open. She wanted to take out the closed sign. Yeah. So she wasn't amused after that.
I thought she started laughing and she softened after a little bit. Yeah, it is. I think you have that good. Maybe we can just finish with one final little funny story from you.
Okay, now the story. You know, I often say that sometimes professors, not all professors, they live in their own ivory towers of learning. And they can be very very pompous and all that. And they not all of them. So anyway. This professor came to this village and he wanted to get across the river. And so he saw a young boy. He said to the young boy, tell me, young boy, can you take me across the river? The boy said, not a problem, sir. I'll take you wherever you want to go. So then he asked him, he said, boy, tell me, do you know philosophy? The boy said, sir, I don't know. Mm-hmm. The professor said to him, well, you lost one third of your life.
Mm-hmm.
He went further down the river. He said to him, boy, do you know literature? He said, no. At all, sir. I don't know literature. Well, you lost two thirds of your life. In the excitement, the boat toppled. The professor was drowning. The boy asked the professor, can you swim? He said, no. Well, then you lost your whole life, you know.
Professor thought he was one up the boy.
One up. Yeah. This young boy was serving a greater purpose, bringing people. I'm sure the boy saved the professor.
We hope so. It is my shukran, Jazilan, for your time. And we'll speak.
Inshallah, Allah bless you, and inshallah, we will connect with you next week. Eh? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.